He is the glory and the lifter of our heads. I'll just be honest with you. I should have asked you to do this because I know you would have. But when I listened to that song by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, by the way, that's Brooklyn Tab. I think Parkway Tab does it pretty decent, though, don't you? Anyway, that's all right. But the third time we get to that, that's a part. Lord, they just all spontaneously start clapping. And every time I pray, in the name of Jesus, would they all do that the third time? And you don't. You don't. I'm like, some of you people, I know you've heard the song before. Just do it, you know. It's part of the song. You have a part. Tell the second service, all right? And you'll bless this pastor's heart. So today's going to be very different. So if you're visiting for the first time here at Parkway, or maybe you've just been coming a couple, two or three weeks, you're kind of like, is this how we do things? It's kind of like Easter Sunday. We always have a lot of people who aren't normally here, who've never been here before, and they're kind of like, do you guys do this every week? And it's like, no, it's a little different. We're still going to honor the Lord through song. We're still going to read a psalm. People are like, why do we read the psalms so much? Do we just like the psalms a lot? No, because the Bible actually tells us to read a psalm. It tells us to read it in its entirety so we would get the full picture of it, even the parts that are kind of discouraging in the psalms. We're supposed to read the whole thing. So we're going to worship the Lord that way. We're also going to open the text, read God's word, comment on God's word or proclaim God's word, preach on that. But today will be a little different. We'll actually have a response time in the service today as well. We do that typically every Sunday. You're like, well, Pastor, you know, is that historical? Have they been doing that forever and ever since we began the church or since the church began? And the answer is yes. There's always been some sort of response time. The culmination or apex of most services was the supper up until about the 1700s. And after the 1700s, they had an altar call. They used to have a bench down front. They called it an anxious bench. And they would like family members who had lost people would come make them sit up front. Can you imagine if we did that today? That'd be super fun, wouldn't it? Some people are like, I am never coming back to this church again. Anyway, that's what they would do. And they would proclaim God's word. And then the body of Christ that would gather would know, pray for these folks because they're wondering if this whole God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Bible thing is real. And they're waiting to hear from God. I know some of you probably sitting out there, as you go throughout the week, you probably wonder, man, is God really there? Does he hear me? Why does he allow me to walk through some of the things that I walk through? Why are some of these bad things happening? How can some of these people who are elected officials say the crazy stuff that they say? How can all this be if God is sovereign and in control? And I want you to know, it is all going according to the plan that God has for us. Amen. The word says very quickly that a man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. And that is one thing that has been faithful and true about Parkway Baptist Church. You're sitting in a building that has not been here for 50 years, amongst a group of people who have not been a constituted church for 100 years, 150 years. We're a church that's 17 years old. And God has done some amazing things. I think about, I think it was 2001, Thanksgiving. I was in a car with my wife. We were riding back from my in-laws, hanging out with them. I'd been married about a year and a half. Had no clue about marriage still. After 19 years of marriage, I can honestly say I know a little. But I know a little about my wife. I don't know if I can comment all the way on marriage. But anyway, so we were riding out of the car, and we were wondering, we were trying to discern at the time what we thought was God's will. I will categorize it now as God's plans. After reading God's word for about 25, 30 years as a follower of Christ, I've come to the conclusion that God's will is eternal. There are 10 things in the New Testament that say this is God's will. None of them have to do with who you marry. None of them have to do with what job you have. None of them have to do with whether you live in a certain location. That has nothing to do with his will. It is God's will that you are holy. It's God's will that you read the Bible. It's God's will that you pray. It's God's will that you're nice to people, okay? That's God's will. So here's the clue. If you're not doing any of God's will, you're gonna have a hard time hearing his plans. Does that make sense? Because most of the time, we spend most of our time fretting about his plans, don't we? Y'all gotta help me out this morning. I know it's Labor Day weekend, but we at church now, all right? They sang a 7-minute Thou, O Lord song. We read Psalm 91. You hear? All right, let's go. All right, so So that's what we want to discern God's plans. So I remember trying to discern God's plans with my wife. We're like, God, help us know what your plans are. We were trying to decide seminary for our world and life. We knew God had called us to go to seminary. We're just not sure whether it was Southwestern or Southeastern. We pretty much had landed the plane on those two. So we made our list of pros and cons. You know, we did all our homework. I had scholarships available at either one. We're like, all right, Lord, you know, you're going to have to just speak. So we prayed. We're like, God, we don't know what to do. I know where my heart was leaning. I was leaning towards Texas because I had never seen that part of the world, never seen that part of like the country, and I thought it'd be fun to live in Texas and realize just how arrogant Texans are. Amen, you know? And so I'm kidding. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, and I wanted to kind of, I wanted to bring on some of that in my life, you know, anyway. So if you're offended by that, good. Anyway, so I'm kidding. Yeah, so I need to go on. But anyway, so we were trying to, Betty's like, just stop talking. Yeah. Anyway, so my wife's not here to police this. Normally, I look at her, I look this way, and she's like, not the man. Anyway, so anyway, we're trying to discern God's plans for our life, and we just prayed. We're like, God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. By the way, I have nothing against Texas. I was kidding. And so I was like, God, you have to just speak. 5 minutes after we said amen, the phone rang, and the guy on the other end of the line was a guy named Brian Autry, and he said, hey, I've got this idea about planting this church in Moseley, Virginia. Would you be interested? And I'm like, okay. He goes, but before you say yes or no, and I'm like, well, I was going to say I'd pray about it. That's the good Christian answer. And so I said, he said, I need to tell you, I can't pay anything, and your wife's going to have to work full time, and you're going to have to go to school and probably commute. And I'm like, awesome. So we hung with the phone, and I looked over at my wife, and I'm like, hey, babe. He goes, who was that? Was that Brian? What'd he say? You know, and I was like, and I told him, and she said, this is the Lord. I'm like, are you for real? You know, because my plans were to go to Southwestern Seminary. I could work at a Texas high school. They have like 4 music teachers. My undergrad was music education. So I could like work full time for a high school, make a decent living, you know, go see all the things out west that we really wanted to go see. And then that would be God's plan. And I could just help serve at a church somewhere, not be on staff, and I'd be like, yeah, okay, you know, enjoy like the 4 years of seminary, 3 years of seminary, and then, you know, see what God has after that. And he's like, no, here's what I want you to do. So we prayed that night, I called him next morning, hey, we'll start walking through doors. That's how God brought me to Parkway. So Parkway was planted in March of 2002. There was about 12 families that were purposeful to plant a healthy work. It wasn't a split off another church or anything like that. Not that God doesn't work through those things too, he does. But it was just a healthy church plant. We started in 2002. In 2003, God did something absolutely insane as he gave us almost 40 acres of land. 37. The land that you sit on was literally given to us. We got a phone call from a lawyer. He said, there's been a development. Someone has anonymously purchased the land and given it to you. And the way they've set it up is you'll never know who. And there are people, it's always funny, people are like, I wonder who it was. And they speculate and think, I know who it was. His name is Jesus. And I'm cool with his name being Jesus, because that's how, listen to me, God works through the generosity of people, but it's Christ. We're going to get there. So next week, we're going to dive into 2 Corinthians, all right? And the reason we're going to dive into 2 Corinthians is we've already walked through 1 Corinthians as a church. As God brought me back here in 2017, one of the first things I was thinking is, God, what do you want to say to us? It's going to be through your word. It's going to be specifically through your word, not through any knowledge of man, not through any wisdom of man, but it's going to be through your word. And he's like, I want you to walk through 1 Corinthians and talk to the church about grace and peace, because the church had been through about 3 years of some tough times. And so we came, we talked about grace and peace, right? We're like, grace and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. We memorized 1 Corinthians 13 as a church, and we wanted to know how we're supposed to love one another deeply, because 1 Peter 4 tells us that love covers a multitude of sins. It's only the love of Christ. We just sang that song, I will build my life on the love of God, right? And then I want his heart to work through us. So that's been the prayer. That's what we've done. So we walk through 1 Corinthians. Next, we'll be walking through 2 Corinthians. We'll start that next week and walk through what I believe the Lord has to teach us about abundant grace. Abundant grace, but hear me, abundant grace in his strength made perfect through our weakness. All right, it makes no logical sense. It is not a good business plan, all right? You cannot take this business plan and make it work in New York City. You can't make it work in California, but you can make it work in God's economy, okay? It's how it works. And God works through the generosity of his people, and that's what 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 talk about. The biggest example of generosity in the New Testament is from the poorest church. from the poorest church, the poorest people in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And that's how God for all eternity chose to demonstrate his generosity. That's crazy, right? Like, that's crazy, but that's how God works. Like, 2 billion years from now, when we stop counting time the way we count time and we just count time the way God does, we will know 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. It just boggles my mind to think about that. Don't you want to read that then on this little bit of time that you have here on this thing called planet Earth? This means yes, this means no. All right, yeah, don't you want to do that? It wasn't rhetorical. I need like some amen, some yes, sir. If it's a no, say no. And then we'll pray for you and you can come forward later. Anyway. So 2 years ago, and I'll fast forward because I gotta run. Our leadership sat down and prayed. Our pastors prayed. Our leadership, pastoral leadership team, as God began to raise up new men to be part of that and then reconcile and replenish and refresh some men who had served before and brought new vision and new life, we're like, God, speak to us. So this is the statement we believe that God gave us, that we believe after a prayer, season of prayer, we spent about 3-4 months in prayer and then another like 3 or 4 months trying to iron out what that meant and kind of came up with some specific prayer points. But here's the thing that we believe God gave us. The statement is we desire to be real people walking with Christ, inviting others and serving together to reach our neighbors and the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Clear focus. We have to be walking with Jesus in order to do so. We want Exodus 33 type of walking with Jesus. We want the type of inviting others like John 4 to we're not like summing people up about how much money they make or what kind of style of life they live in or whether they're married with 2 kids or single adult. Man, we want them all right? Invite others. Okay, John chapter 4, like woman at the well type thing. Like, are you cool with my brokenness, pastor? Yes, because Jesus is. All right, are you cool with my fractured background and I've been divorced twice? Yes, because Jesus is. I got a text message from someone, I'm still amazed that they were asking about it. They were asking about whether or not this church would love them if they came from a divorced family. I'm like, what crisis do we have that you don't understand the grace of God? That churches have so injured people to tell people, all right, that you're broken and God can't use you. Now hear me, is God for marriage? Yes, he is. Does God want divorce? No, he does not. But does God work his redemptive grace through every person? Yes! Are you disqualified from being used by God because of some sin that you've committed? No. But you don't get to continue in your sin. Does that make sense? You don't get to continue in your sin and just keep doing it and then ask God to bless it. That's not the way it works. And we can say both because the Bible says both. Amen? So we desire to be real people walking with Christ, inviting others, and serving together, like ridiculous type of serving, to reach our neighbors and the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So then our 9 prayer points, we said, God, you're going to have to give us specific things because what unites a church, what unites a group of people who are called out by God to go back into the world to call others out of the world, that's what a church is, all right? A church is not a structure, it's a people. What unites a people is common mission and common praying. Like what we hunger for, if we hunger for the same things, God will move. He will. There's a reason why our small groups are walking through the same stuff that we teach on Sunday mornings. Because if we're all reading the same thing, God, through his Holy Spirit, is going to speak to us in our hearts in different ways, but around the same central themes. That's what we're asking God to do. So here's the 9 prayer points we believe God gave us. We've been praying these since, as a leadership, since fall of 2017, as a church since January of 2018. First year, God, please give us all 3 gospel conversations a week. Hashtag give me 3. Man, we're asking God, give us 3 gospel conversations a week. We want to be sharing our faith at least 3 times a week. Can you imagine 10 years from now, if we ask God and he faithfully gives us 3 divine appointments, what Chesterfield County might look like? Now, I'm not saying they all need to come to Parkway. I just mean that we need to be sharing our faith and then encouraging them to get into a Bible-believing church. You might share your faith on an airplane on your way to Texas, all right, to help those people out. I'm just kidding, all right? But he might use you for his glory in that way, all right? Then God, get us all in a small group. So if we happen to be around here, God, get us every person in a small group, from the youngest to the oldest. No one's exempt. No leadership, no leader in this church is exempt from being part of a small group. We're saying we want you to be part of a small group. If you're a member of this church, we expect you to be a member of a small group. And if you can't find one, we expect you to start one. Okay? And then three, God, give us wisdom and a plan for the addition of a gathering space for children and students on our campus. We'll use it for other things too, but intentionally for them. God's answered that prayer. We're going to talk about it in a minute. 3 year, God, train us all in a core discipleship plan. Give us all this discipleship plan so we can walk through, so that we can be ready and discipled to be sent out if that's what you desire for us. God, mobilize us all then to serve you and the church in a Parkway ministry. If you attend a worship service at Parkway Baptist Church, our expectation, if you're a member, is that you're serving in at least one ministry area at this church. By the way, that doesn't mean 1 week at VBS. All right, that means ongoing throughout the year. Now, we want you serving in VBS, praise God, but man, there is more to God's kingdom than 475 people in a room for 4 days, all right? And so then God, mobilize us all to serve you. God, let us see 10% then, as we're sharing, as we're serving, God, let us see 10% of whatever our population is, 10% of people saved and baptized. So if we have 500 people attending a service, we want to see 50 people come to faith in Christ. We have 600 people come in on a Sunday morning. We want to see 60 people come to faith in Christ and baptized. 5 years, God, Lord of the harvest, send out laborers to plant 20 churches. God of the harvest, send out 20 missionaries. And God of the harvest, help us to be debt-free so we can send more and plant more. And so for the last year and a half or so, this is what we've been praying as a church body. Go to the next one. So here we're going to give you an update about what God's doing. First one, hashtag give me three this summer. 1,563 homes were adopted and prayed for by Parkway Baptist Church through blesseveryhome.com. Now, here's the deal. I know some of you probably signed up on Bless Every Home and didn't put Parkway Baptist Church as your church. You just signed up because you might be a little hard to use electronic stuff, and that's okay, all right? But this is just what we can track. And so we actually, if you pray every day when you get that email, if you click prayed for, it actually will ping up there and let us know, like, hey, these homes are being prayed for. It's pretty amazing. By the way, we're not going like all the way to your street and going, they didn't pray on Tuesday there. Because you were to do that from, it's not how it works. All we get are totals. But for an example, as we partner with other churches within the SBC in Virginia, because we're not the only church doing this, all right? There are other churches doing this. 75,556 people were prayed for in Virginia just this summer. Praise God, right? Don't you want to be part of that? Yeah. Like, hey, hear me loud and clear. People do not come to faith in Christ by your effort. People come to faith in Christ because you prayed for them and the Holy Spirit drew them to himself. That is the only way. The Holy Spirit does the work of drawing people into salvation. You do nothing except obedience to Christ. Martin, you do not have the power to save people. I don't either, but Jesus Christ does. Our job is to simply share the gospel with them and ask God to give us gospel conversations, all right? So let's keep asking God to give us these three gospel conversations each week. Like, Pastor, you're going to move on from this? No. Like, the sooner, if we move on from this, we'll begin to die. We'll begin to die. So as we dare to disciple, who is your one, all right, that you will disciple to walk with Christ, invite others, and serve together? What we mean by walking with Christ is, we believe that you are the best people, as a church, you are the best people to disciple others. Like, coming and hearing me for an hour every week is not going to be the best, like, discipleship method plan. But them hanging out in your house, or you meeting them at Chick-fil-A, or meeting them at Panera, or meeting them somewhere else, or better yet, have a picnic and go to Sunday Park. And talking with them about prayer and praying with them, talking with them about reading the Bible, better yet, reading alongside them, asking them to join with you in your reading plan. Don't say, hey, go find a reading plan. Say, this is how I read the Bible. Why don't you begin read it with me? And we'll call each other once a week and ask each other what we're learning. And then inviting others and serving together. And then worshiping, modeling that by worshiping together. We believe that you are the best disciple makers. So here's what we're asking. You have a little card. You should have a little card near you. That looks like this. It says, Bless Every Home. You may say, Pastor, you know, I was so busy this summer, I didn't sign up. Man, go to this website and sign up, blesseveryhome.com. it will send you the 40 closest neighbors, and they will send you an email every day to pray for your neighbors, all right? Now, hear me. Look at me. I'm like a 25% prayer, all right? Like, I'm not praying every day when I get that email. Some days I go back through the last four and go, all right, Lord, and I pray for those people by name. My life's busy, just like yours is. We're not asking you for one more thing. We just know that if you don't get a reminder, you won't do it, right? Because I don't get a reminder, I won't do it. That's the way it works. But on the back, you'll see, like, once we see people come to faith in Christ, what are we asking? Well, who's your one? So here's what we're challenging today with this first prayer point. Is by Christmas, would God give you the gift of one person that you could begin discipling, that you share the gospel with, that you can begin discipling? And hey, they don't have to be people that you've led to Christ. They could be someone who's never been discipled. You talk to someone about how they're walking and talking with Jesus. You're like, you know, I don't really have much of a prayer life, or I don't really know how to pray. Man, if you began praying with them. So you're saying, Pastor, are you saying you're expecting us to disciple somebody by Christmas? Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not. Jesus asked us to do this. So who's your one? So I want you to ask God. You're like, man, that's a lot of pressure. No, it's not. All you're doing is, all I'm asking you is to ask God to give you one person that you can disciple. You say, how old do we have to be? I don't know, 12? 13? I mean, I know 9-year-olds who could disciple other people too. All right? So, I mean, you don't have to be like a whiz at all. So you don't have to be a pastor to disciple somebody. You just need to walk someone through faith. Pastor, I struggle in my sin. I know that's why you need to disciple somebody. Like, you don't wait till you're perfect. Like, don't wait, because you'll never get there. Don't wait till you have the answer to this one problem. Don't wait till you pay off this one credit card. Man, just start discipling somebody, and you'll be amazed at how God uses that to bring you to more intimacy and faith with Christ. All right? Let's keep going. That's just the first one. Fun. The next is this, the Bless Every Home initiative that just lets us know where things are. So prayer point two, small groups. We've said this as a church. We do not want to be a church with small groups. We want to be a church of small groups. So here's how I'll say this together. I know you may be like, this is a ridiculous statement. I think it's the truest thing we could possibly say. If you're going to give the Lord just 1 hour on Sundays and the rest of the week is your own pursuits, I ask that you don't come to this gathering. I would much prefer that you go to a small group. Now, hear me. I think that you will best benefit if you come and hear the word of God proclaimed and preached, and you're attending a small group and kind of digesting that with other people. And you can do that on Sunday mornings. You can do that throughout the week. It doesn't matter when your small group is. We're just asking that you go to a small group. Over the last year, God's planted 5 new small groups, as well as numerous men's and women's groups. Now, hear me loud and clear. I am well aware that there are, I would probably say, Jeff Newsom and I were talking, Leslie Fitzgerald and I, but by the way, they're the men's leader and the women's leader here at Parkway for our different ministries. We've chatted about, we know there are countless small groups. We don't have a desire to track them all. Man, good night. No, we don't want to track them all. We just want you to be in one. Amen? And if you let us know that you're open to having people come, when we have people call us and say, do you have small groups? We can say, yes, you can join that one. And so occasionally ask the 4 people that you've been meeting with for 5 years, hey, you guys cool if maybe we start a new one? And you 2 go here and you 3 go here and we'll invite people to come with us? Because hear me loud and clear, God has no desire for you to meet with the same 5 people for 30 years. You're not discipling anybody that way. That's just a click. You follow me? All right, now, I'm not knocking you if that's all that you got. No, I'm just saying, expand. Like, ask the Lord to do something with that, all right? On Sunday, July 21st, from 4 to 7 p.m., 18 people walk through the core class, starting a small group. Currently, Parkway has 36 small groups. Of the 36 small groups we've got, these are the ones that we track that are kind of come one, come all. Now, that doesn't count all the ones that we know are meeting separately, men's groups and ladies' groups. Doesn't even count those. We have 16 adult small groups, 11 meet on Sunday mornings, and 5 meet throughout the week. 7 student small groups, 8 elementary, and 5 preschool. You say, do those need leaders? Yes. All right, let's keep going. All right, we're not at that point yet. So here's our prayer point. So for next space, prayer point number 3 for our next space. We've asked the Lord to do this. Here's what God's done. God has answered Parkway's prayer for a plan to build a new building to provide safe, secure, and consolidated amenities for kids and students' ministries. So the next space project is going to include approximately around 10,000 square feet of new construction and 3,000 square feet of renovation to be completed in the following proposed phases. So you guys have seen this. Phase one, 2019, we're going to remove our cottages and then begin building an open shell. A building that's simply just an open space similar to this one. It has plans for phase two to have finished classrooms and also two large meeting rooms in the new building, and also to complete some renovations that will connect all of these buildings. By the way, praise God for what he has done for the last 4 years, because through an initiative called the Ready Project, we were actually able to get ready to do something like this, in that we have a water line that has come to this building so we can connect these buildings. Praise be to God. And I think we need to rejoice in what God's done, simply the fact that we have water. Can we do that? And that was done through leaders who led honestly during an incredibly hard time, and God accomplished that during that time. Man, praise be to Jesus for what he's done. Phase three might be some potential renovations in here. We'll see as we go. That's just something that is a potential. Not necessarily whether or not the money comes in, but whether or not that's the way the Lord directs our steps. He might decide to do something different. Next space news. We are thankful for the work that has been completed over the last 8 months with site plan services, environmental services, Chesterfield County processes, and approvals. Literally, since May, we have been in this back and forth deal with the county. And so they're doing their job, we're doing ours, and the leaders who are doing that are doing fantastic. It's just, it is what it is. And so we anticipate having the last thing done just in a week. We also want to thank God for Mark Bracco. Mark Bracco is going to begin serving as a project and logistics coordinator for the entire process. Mark's here today. Would you mind just standing up for a second, Mark? So we can just thank God for him and all that he has been doing and helping getting us ready. So that way, honestly, he's doing this so that I'm not, like, my world's not going to get any busier than what it already is. And Rodney Taylor and the rest of those guys on the team, the Next Space team is Rodney, Ray Bretta, Richard Cunningham, myself, Stan Harrison, Pastor Matt, Kevin Mahoney. Mark is really going to handle some of the day-to-day logistics so that even our staff currently won't be overwhelmed with different things as those things begin happening. He's already done an excellent job. We're thankful for him. So here's what we're asking you to pray for this fall. Right now, we're in the bidding and builder selection process. So we're receiving bids for what that might look like. And then the beginning of construction could happen potentially within the next 2 to 3 to 4 months, depending on how fast they can go, and also depending on what's next. So here's what's next. Our men's ministry this coming Saturday are going to demolition the decking in and around the cottages at 8 o'clock in the morning. I know some of you are going to say, hallelujah, rejoice. Some of the rest of you are going to be like, hey, what are we going to do when the cottages aren't there? I'm glad you asked. The cottages are going to be removed on 9/10, and our Sunday morning adult small groups. We have adult small groups that meet all throughout the week off campus, but the ones that currently meet on this campus on Sunday mornings are going to join our student small groups at what we're calling Parkway at the Grange, all right? I think it's pretty cool, by the way. So we have a few individuals who are working to make that an experience, just like when you walk in the doors at Parkway, when you walk in the doors at Grange Hall, you'd have a very similar or same experience there. Same things are being planned for our Parkway North campus. When you come in, you're like, this is Parkway. Okay, here we are. The bidding process is taking place right now. Our Next Space team will match those bids. We've already had a consultant come and do a detailed estimate so that when those bids come, we'll be able to analyze those apples to apples. The bid the estimate that we got was in the range of about $1.2 million. So let's pray. Let's pray right now for 10:02. Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your love. God, we do ask, God, that you would help us, Lord, as we walk through this process. Father, that you would enable us to be postured and ready to train and equip and to send more laborers into your harvest field. So Lord of the harvest, help us plant 20 churches and send 20 missionaries over the next 5 years, because the harvest, oh, it's plentiful, but the laborers are few. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. So here's what we've got. We currently have $637,779.37. That was as of yesterday in our building fund for phase one. Now, that number has been way larger But we used some of that money to pay for the water line that came in. And then we've used just a little bit of that money to help us with this new architect as we've, actually it's the same one that designed these buildings as well that you currently sit in. And I'm going to pull this up so I can see a little better. And then we need, what we're thinking, about $562,220.63 to complete phase one. So here's what we're asking. We're asking God to provide more abundantly than what we could ever ask or imagine. We are fairly certain that we can begin this process to get us to a stopping point if for some reason the money were to run out as we began building. We're not going to be like that chapter in the Bible where Jesus is saying, we make sure that you consider the cost of the tower and then we can't finish. No, we understand that we will get to a stopping point with the current funds that we have, and we'll work that out with the builder. If we don't have enough, we won't start. Does that make sense? And so we're planning a prayer service this fall for once we have that information, you'll have it. This was the planned date for the update, and we don't have the information yet to go us beyond there, so that's what we have. Why haven't we said lots of things through every week? Because every week, essentially for the last 4 months, it's been the county said do this, and we're doing this. All right, awesome. And that's been the update for like the last 3 months since we last gave this. So there really hasn't been much that's happened beyond that. But here's what it looks like, if you want to know what it looks like. And awesome, it looks good there. So this is the front view. So if you look at the far right building, that's where we're sitting right now. There's a proposed connector that's part of phase two. And even that small building in the middle, you may be like, hey, that's our offices, but they only have one door in the middle. Why does the picture have two? Because part of phase two is actually gutting our offices and making that an entryway and a place that when you walk in, you know, okay, our preschoolers go safely and securely right there. Our elementary and students would go that way, and then our adults would go this way. And that would become kind of like our main entrance. That's part of phase two. Phase three, the front view on the far left, that would be the new space. That front small building in the front connector would be new offices. And then in the back is all of the finished space for our elementary and students, which would include two gathering spaces, and then I believe it's 12 classrooms, but I might be wrong about that. Don't quote me. And so here's the rear view of the next space, just the back, and then the side view. So this is, it's an open shell structure for phase one, and that's what we would get to for phase one. So what will we do during that year? We're figuring that out as we get there. Who will meet in there? Most likely all of our students will be in there on Sunday mornings, and our children will continue to be here on campus, and our adults will be off. You're like, hey, when can we get all of everybody on our campus? I don't know. Give another $2 million and we'll get there. Amen? All right, cool. So here's the next prayer point, all right? So is everybody clear on what's happening over the next few weeks? So you're going to literally pull up to church next week, and there won't be any decking to get to the modulars. The following week, when you pull up, the modulars won't be there. The cottages will be gone, and some of you will dance, and that's okay. But honestly, can I say this? Those have been a blessing. Those cottages have been a blessing for the last 10-plus years. We thank God for how he's grown our church and what he's done and how we've utilized that space. It's just time for what's next. Amen? Here's prayer point four. Disciple making. We thank God for the 200 plus adult members who've completed over half of our core classes. Core classes are a series of discipleship classes to equip us all to be real people, walking with Christ, inviting others, and serving together to reach our neighbors and the nations. So here are the core classes that have been offered. You have a copy of those beside you. I won't read them for the sake of time, but here's what I'm going to ask you to do with those core classes. Sometime today, circle the ones that you've taken. Are we asking that you take all of them in 3 years? No, we're asking that you take around 15 of them. We are most likely going to transition from the 6-week model to a 3-week model of core classes, so we'll offer those every 3 weeks, and then most likely the continued one-day offerings as well. So that's the core classes. Members serving, prayer point five. This summer, we had 166 students and adults walk with Christ and serve together in Lynchburg, Virginia, and Charleston, South Carolina. Our Vacation Bible School, I think you can see that number, is 152 adults and students served together and discipled. Look at this, 345 children to walk with Christ. Man, that is something to celebrate. All right, yeah, praise the Lord. 42 so far this year, 42 Parkway members have served together and invited others to walk with Christ alongside 10 international missionaries and 10 church planters. Earlier this year, and this was part of a previous report, 75 in our worship ministry served our community and led the Parkway family to worship the returning King through 10 original songs that Pastor Jonathan wrote, and they were arranged by Melody and others within our band and choir. We're so thankful for what God's doing. Each month, 89 people serve in our Kids Way Children's Ministry. I can tell you this, they need more. I'll say this, Michelle Basin hasn't been to a worship service since mid-June. So is God calling you to serve in children's ministry? Yep. Are some of you listening? No. So 225 children played Upward basketball this year. Praise be to God. Upward has 100-plus Parkway and community volunteers that serve, and that's awesome. But that's only about 10 to 12 weeks of service. Is God saying, we need you serving throughout the year? Each month, 25-plus people serve Richmond, Virginia through the feeding ministry. So they go out every fourth and fifth Saturday. They pack on the fourth Friday, go out on the fourth Saturday, and then when there's a fifth one, Parkway takes that on. So I'm just thankful for that continued service as well. Parkway members serve. Here's other opportunities of service. There are countless other ways that many of the Parkway family serve, through our safety team, through greeters and first impressions, setup teams, missionary prayer teams, the missionary advocates. Those teams are so important that hold the rope for our missionaries in Romania, our missionaries in South Asia, our missionaries in the Philippines. It's so pivotal as we encourage and love them. Our ushers, our small group leaders, our men's ministry team, our women's ministry team, our missions projects teams. Ask God to give you, wherever you're serving right now, ask God to give you the name of someone that you can invite to join you in serving in your ministry. So rather than going and asking someone to serve in another ministry, here's what wherever you're serving, invite them to come and serve alongside you. Ask God to give them a name, give you a name. And then thank God for the ministry that happens through God's people in serving. I'm going to pause right now and just thank him. Father, thank you for all that you have done and all that you are doing. Lord, we want to be used by you, God, to reach our neighbors in the nations, God, and we know that begins with serving right here through the ministry of this church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Salvation and baptism. We praise God for the 100-plus people that have come to faith in Jesus Christ through mission projects and local sharing so far in 2019. Folks, that's just the stuff we know that we can count. We praise God for the 19 people that have been baptized so far in 2019, and we're baptizing like 8 next Sunday, all right? And so much to the point that Karen said, hey, we don't have any more robes. I'm like, all right, cool. She says, maybe we can like wash and dry some if it was going like between both services. So our 10:30 service is full for baptism, but our 9 o'clock's open. So you want to be baptized, you can be baptized next week, 9 o'clock, all right? We praise God for the many that are weekly sharing their faith with their neighbors, coworkers, schools, and the nations. Literally, there's not a week that goes by that I don't get a story about what God's doing through a student at a school, through someone in their office space. Just got a text message this week from someone who's saying, hey, pray for me. I'm beginning this Bible study at my office. Would you ask? Man, praise God for things like that. So again, sign up at blesseveryhome.com so you can be praying for your neighbors by name. So here we go. Prayer point number 7, planting churches. Folks, in the last year and a half, we've seen God plant 7 churches. We've been praying for 20, all right? Yeah. One of those is in Iligan City in the Philippines. That's a Gospel for the Philippines church plant. You may say, what's Gospel for the Philippines? I'm glad that you asked. On September 15th, we're going to explain that to you over dinner. So please come and learn more. But it's a church planting initiative in the Philippines that was begun back in the mid-2000s through a couple of Parkway members here that have asked to just be nameless today. And so the second is the church in Ilva Mare in Romania. We've sent a few mission teams to Romania, but I want you to see an update from Mike and Jane, but I'm going to finish this list and I'll let you do that. We're going to see an update specifically about the church in Ilva Mare. In Guam, we've seen Christian Life Fellowship constituted In Montreal, Canada, in 2017, Renaissance Church was replanted, kind of given a fresh vision and a fresh fire with Pastor James. And then Ben Fleet is going to be launching Voyage Church this fall. So the team that just came back was able to participate in ministering alongside them. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, we had some members that literally took, I should have put the pictures up here, I didn't think about it, that took all of the things that were given at Vacation Bible School to help. I got a text message from one of the teachers in that school that's part of Redemption Heights that said he is getting stopped like every time he walks down the hallway from teachers saying, thank you so much for what you've given to our school. And he's telling them about what God did through you. Tell me that's not awesome. You're having a handprint impact in Philadelphia. And then we had a family, the Barbers, that just went this past weekend, and they helped deliver those things on Monday to the teachers at the school. I'm blanking on the name of the school. Powhatan, Virginia, Resonate Church, that was just launched this year as well. And then here are the churches that are planned for 2019, the rest of 2019 and 2020. There are two Gospel for the Philippine churches that are going to be planted in 2020. And then in Calcutta, India, the Kishores are asking that we plant, that we be praying for the 78 villages in 2019 that they're going to be going through and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with. In North Chesterfield, Parkway North is going to be planted in 2020. And so we're not doing this alone, all right? We as a church can't plant 20 churches by ourselves. We need harvest and planting partners. The SBCV of Virginia, the North American Mission Board, Connexion Church, and Pillar Church of Dumfries. And I don't have time to tell you that story, man. That's a crazy Holy Spirit story that God answered a prayer for me back in 2008 as the Lord began to work through. Just 2 weeks ago, the Lord brought this guy to mind through that. And it's just an incredible story. But I want you to watch this video and see how the Lord has been working in Romania in Ilva Mare. All right. So that's Mike and Jane. They're our missionaries in Romania. That's a Backyard Bible Club Vacation Bible School towards the end that they did in August. This is a recent video. And then in just a couple of moments, they're going to turn around. You're going to see a building in the background. When I was there in January with Travis, this was an empty lot, okay? And the Lord, through a couple of generous people at Parkway, and praise God, there's a building there now. And the church in Ilva Mare, I was in a house church in January that had literally about 90 people crammed into a space about like this. And praise God, there's a building. So it's just exciting to see what God's doing through that church and through Mike and Jane. So prayer point 8 in sending missionaries. We thank God for sending 2 midterm missionaries. Midterm missionaries are folks that go out anywhere between like a month and about 4 months. So Ben Young to Southeast Asia last summer and Carly Kernstein to South Asia this past January and February and March and April. I want you to pray for the two that are praying about going and already in process to serve as long-term missionaries. You guys cool if I tell everybody? All right, yeah. So would you stand up? All right. So this is Dustin and Nicole Johnson. They believe God's calling them to go serve alongside our folks in the Philippines. So sometime in 2020, early 2020, mid-2020, they're going to go and study at the International Learning Center and then be launched for a year to serve alongside our missionaries there. So can we celebrate with them about how God's moving in their world and life? Thank you, guys. And then, and we'll be doing a whole lot more praying for you soon. Don't worry. And then we have a family, so they're going as long-term missionaries to the Philippines. We have a family of 8 that is making plans right now. They've already bought plane tickets to go this fall to kind of scout things out and figure out where they're going to live. But they're going to go live and work alongside Voyage Church, our church plant in Montreal next summer. So sometime in June, July, and August, they're going to leave here. So it's the Wolfgang family. They're going to be leaving us and spending the entire summer serving alongside. They're not here today. They just normally sit there in the second service. Sorry. I'm gesturing that way. They're not here. It's not them. So yeah, they're not the Wolfgang. Sorry. But they're an awesome family too, so the rest of you. So prayer point eight, sending missionaries. We're going to thank God for our current long-term missionaries, Aman and Shanti in South Asia, Colton Riley in Southeast Asia. Just spoke with him on Tuesday morning. Crazy to see what God's doing in and through their ministry. Mike and Jane in Romania, Nick and Jim in the Philippines, and Tim and Amy in Northern Virginia. So with Tim and Amy on November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, instead of doing a men's retreat this year, our men are going to be going and serving alongside Tim and Amy in a men's mission trip to Manassas. So our harvest and sending partners are the International Mission Board and the Gospel for the Philippines. And so prayer point nine, last thing, and then we'll pray. Team, will you guys go ahead and come on up, is our debt elimination. I don't want us to forget to praise God for all that he's done. I want to thank God for providing $257,199, all right, for us to pay in principal since 9/30/2017. Since we began praying as a leadership for these nine prayer points, we've paid almost a quarter million dollars off in towards our debt. Man, that's something to rejoice and praise God for. We thank God that in 2019, we're aggressively paying down the mortgage by making an extra principal payment every month, and we're able to refinance the balance just this last couple of weeks. I think that paperwork was just signed, and so it's a seven-year repayment, and at the end of 7 years, if we continue to make the extra principal payment, that $1.6 million currently, that's our debt right now, was $1.9 million, all right, 2 years ago. So that's pretty aggressive. In 7 years, it will be $340,000 that we would owe when we got to the end of that. That's crazy to think about, all right? That's crazy. That's just going at the pace we're going right now. God can do exceedingly and abundantly more than what we could ask or imagine. Amen? And so here's what we're asking. Philippians chapter 3. But whatever gain I had, so you may see this and think, wow, this is something to rejoice over. It's awesome to see what God's doing. Yes, but whatever gain I had, and if you go back and read those first six verses, Paul boasts on everything that he potentially could boast about, and he says, whatever gain I have, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. Like, I don't want you to leave today talking about all the cool things that God has done. What I want you to leave today is praising the fact that your name and my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what Jesus said. So I count it all as a loss for the sake of Christ. You're saying, Pastor, even the debt that's paid off? Yes, I count that as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing greatness of what? Knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like Christ in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but church, I what? Come on, press on, all right, to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I don't consider that I've made it my own. I don't consider that I've made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. Some of you here need to forget the past. The greatness of whatever once was or the hurt that once was, you need to consider it a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. Forgetting what lies ahead doesn't mean it doesn't matter, doesn't mean it didn't help shape you to who you are today, yes, but pressing on, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Would you stand with me? Father God, today we want to praise you. Lord, during this time of invitation, Lord, we just want to say to you, if we have never come to the place that we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, Lord, if we've never come to the point of decision, God, to become a Christian, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't leave today after hearing all that we've heard to surrender our life to Christ and saying, I want to be part of the kingdom of God. And it's only by Christ and his blood and his resurrection that I can be. Lord, there are others after hearing today, God, they may say, you know what, I want to join this fellowship. I want to become a member of Parkway Baptist Church. And God, that doesn't give us a card that makes us part of a club. No, it puts us on mission. It puts us serving, God. It puts us together praying and straining ahead together. It's so much easier to strain ahead when we're doing it with people that we know love us and that we love. God, I pray, Jesus, if we're already a Christian, Lord, we're already a member of the body of Christ here at Parkway, God, that we would say to you, God, mobilize me, use me, send me wherever you want. God, help me to pray and give and go and send. Lord, help me to be obedient to the Great Commission, Father, and Holy Living. So God, however you want us to respond, I pray that we would. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.